Hello, welcome to St. Alfred's and to our new series in the Book of Joshua. Excuse my attire, I'm a little bit casual today because I've been on leave and I've got out of the practice of recording, so hope you can put up with me dressed like this. Now, we've just heard Joshua chapter 1 read, and I don't know if you noticed, but there's a theme that runs through Joshua 1. It's fairly easy to spot because it's been repeated four times, and the theme idea is be strong and courageous. That's a word that comes from the Lord to Joshua three times in this opening chapter. And then right at the end of the chapter, it comes a fourth time out of the lips of the people speaking to Joshua. And in its appropriate word, because when we start Joshua chapter 1, Joshua is about to take on this new leadership role from Moses. It's an incredibly important change in the life of the people of Israel. Joshua's heart must be pounding as he thinks about the enormity of the task ahead of him. He's to take over from Moses. He's to lead the people. He's to cross the river, and he's to take possession of the land that God has promised him. So no wonder the Lord says three times, be strong and courageous, each time speaking to Joshua's heart and to his spirit. Be strong and courageous, be strong and very courageous. And in case Joshua missed it, then it gets repeated right at the end in verse 18, where the people say to him, only be strong and courageous. It comes this fourth time, I think, because sometimes we're not sure if we've heard God correctly and we need it to be confirmed coming from the mouths of fellow believers. And especially if our heart is pounding, and especially if God has called us to something big and risky, it's helpful to have it confirmed from the lips of other human beings. Be strong and courageous. That's a message we all need to hear. For many of us, it's not easy being a person, a Christian, a believer, a member of the people of God. And it's certainly not easy being a leader of God's people. But before we make that jump and apply this word to Joshua, to ourselves, I want to make sure that we understand what it means here in this first chapter of Joshua. You see, God has called Joshua to a unique mission, to take possession of the promised land. And it's a mission that will never be repeated, and he's going to be called to do things that none of us will ever do. So let's ensure we understand what God is saying to Joshua, and then later we can reflect on what this might mean for ourselves. I've broken the chapter into two halves, and the first half is verses 1 to 9, which I've entitled, Be Strong and Courageous, for God is with you. Now, although this book of the Bible is called Joshua, the actual main character is God, not Joshua as such. And so if you look in the verses 1 to 5, we learn a lot about God here. It is God who's sustained the people through their desert wanderings and given them Moses as their servant leader in verse 1. It's God who's brought them to the brink of the promised land on the east side of the Jordan. And then following Moses' death, it's God who's raised up Joshua as their new leader, and it's God who's promised them this land that they're about to take. That's verses 2 and 3. Now, this is so important to realize that it's God who's the main person here. God has made this promise of land that goes all the way back in the biblical story, as far back as Genesis chapter 12. Back there, God promised to Abraham that he was going to be the father of a great nation. And he planted in Abraham this dream of being a nation, of having a place and a land. And that promise then sustained the people for years and years and years while they were in Egypt, and then when they went through their wanderings in the desert. It was a promise that was passed on from Abraham to his son Isaac, to his son Jacob, and was eventually passed on to Moses and is repeated at the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3. This land that God has promised now is described here in Joshua chapter 1 as a vast land that stretches from the Euphrates River in the east, in what would be modern-day Iraq, all the way to the Mediterranean Sea, the Great Sea, as it's called in verse 4, over in the west. Now, it's a land that's already populated by other tribes, tribes that we will meet later in the story of Joshua. But importantly, none of these tribes will be able to stand against Joshua and his people. Why is that? The reason is because God is going with them into the battle. God has given them this land. This is the promised land. Look at verse 5 with me. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. God will go with them. He will be personally present with them, and he will go into battle with them and for them. And we will see that in a number of dramatic ways in the story of Joshua. Now, although God is going to do this, Joshua still needs to play his part by being strong and courageous. And that's the main point of verses 6 to 9. Here, God gives Joshua a sort of leadership manifesto, and it only really has two points. The first point is be strong and courageous. He says this three times in these few verses, verses 6, 7, and 9. And then in between, in verses 7 and 8, you get the second point of the leadership manifesto. Obey my law. Obey my word. Obey me. So Joshua has to be strong and courageous and obey what God has said. And if he does that, we're told he will prosper. Things will go well. He will be successful. So Joshua must play his part by being courageous and by obeying God. And then God concludes his speech in verse 9 with a powerful reminder that he is personally committed to Joshua and to this future campaign to take the land. So he says to Joshua, and look at verse 9 with me, he says to Joshua, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Now, if you're the sort of person that likes to underline verses in your Bible or to memorize verses and memorize the promises of God, here's one to underline or memorize. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Now, that's a promise that God made to Joshua, but that's a promise that's made to all of us. And we know by the work of the Holy Spirit that God is with us wherever we go. And so we get to the end of verse 9, and the stage is set, the scene is set. God has spoken to Joshua, told him what to do, and he's ready to go. And the people are ready to realize their long-awaited dream, a dream that came from God in the first place, a dream, a vision, a hope that he planted in them way, way back, a dream of a home, of a land, of a place of safety, a place where they could settle and live the way that God wants them to live and be a blessing to the nations in the way that God has called them to be. But are the people ready to play their part? Are they ready to follow Joshua? You see, it's one thing to believe that you've heard God speak to you, that you've heard God give you a message. It's another thing for the people to confirm that. Imagine if I stood up and said to you, God had told me we're going to move St. Alfred's or St. Luke's. We're going to sell the church because God has a new place for us. Now, there's going to be opposition, I'll say to you, but God has told me we've got to be strong and courageous. But we're going to sell up and we're going to move. That's what God has told me. Imagine if I said that to you. I don't think all of you would be totally convinced. You'd want to know yourselves that God was in this. So it's important to see how the people react to this message that God has given Joshua. What do they think? Are they ready to move? And we see the reaction in the second half of chapter 1, verses 10 to 18, which we'll turn to now. So the first thing Joshua does is he goes to speak to the officers, the leaders of the people, and he tells them the news. He says, pack your bags and get ready to move. In 3 days' time, we're going to cross this river and we're going to take the land that God has given us. That's verses 10 to 11. And then in verses 12 to 18, the rest of the chapter, Joshua needs to speak to a couple of the tribes in particular. And this is the first test of his leadership. And he's got an issue here. And the issue revolves around unity. Now, to appreciate what is going on in verses 12 to 18, we need to know a little bit of the backstory. We need to know a bit of context. The people of Israel are made up of 12 tribes. These are descendants of the 12 sons of Jacob. And although they're related, and you'd imagine they'd all get on well because they have the same great-great-great-great-grandparents or whatever it is, although they're they have that relationship with one another, like any big family, they have their problematic history, they have their grievances with one another, they have their petty jealousies, etc., etc. In fact, Moses has found them a very difficult group to lead, and God has called them numerous times a stiff-necked people. Nevertheless, the idea is that the promised land would be divided amongst these 12 tribes, and there they would live together and be the nation of Israel. It's a little bit like Australia is made up of a federation of states and territories. And over the last couple of years, you and I have seen how difficult it is for different states and territories to live together when each jurisdiction wants to do things in a slightly different way. So you can imagine the tribes, they have, you know, some friction amongst each other occasionally. Now, back in Numbers 32, a couple of the tribes came to Moses and said, "We would like to settle on the east side of the Jordan and not have to cross the river and go into the land of Canaan, the promised land." So when I talk about the river, think of a north-south line, and on the east side of the river, these couple of tribes want to settle, but really they're supposed to cross that river and go into the west, onto the west side where the promised land is, and that's where they're supposed to settle. Now, remember that Israel had come through the desert and come up to that east side of the river, and they'd won some battles, and they'd been settled there for a little while, and the tribes saw that the land was good there, and it was appealing. I suspect they'd had enough of traveling and enough of fighting, and they just wanted to settle down and make some home. Now, they came to Moses and asked, can they do that? But Moses' reaction, recorded for us in Numbers 32, is quite strong. He calls them a brood of sinners in Numbers 32, verse 14, because he sees their request to settle on that east side as a rejection of God's command to go to the promised land, a rejection of God's promise, and as a weakening of their military force, because the 12 tribes would be split up. Now, how can you let some of the tribes settle down when others have to cross the river and go on fighting? A split amongst the people would be disastrous. And as every political party, every sporting team, every church and organization knows, disunity is disastrous. A house divided cannot stand, to paraphrase Abraham Lincoln. But back in Numbers 32, the wisdom of God prevails, and Moses and the tribes come up with a compromise. The tribes will, in fact, be allowed to settle on the east side. That includes the tribe of Reuben, the tribe of Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh. Their women and children will be allowed to stay put on the east side, and their flocks, and they'll be allowed to build their homes and start their farms. But the men will not be allowed to settle. The men promise that they will come with the other tribes and cross the river and fight until all the other tribes have won their battles and won their land, And then once all the tribes are settled, then those men of Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh, they'll cross back to the east side and they can settle with their families. Now, that was agreed with Moses back in Numbers 32, but Moses is dead. Will the tribes now keep that promise, and will they follow Joshua? You see, the success of the campaign depends on it. And Joshua tells them the story, and then we see their reaction in verses 16 to 18, the very end of our passage today. And here's what they say. They answer Joshua like this: "Whatever you have commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey it, whatever you may command them, will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous." So Joshua has passed his first leadership test. He's got the people to agree, to obey, to keep their promise. He's been strong and courageous right to this moment. He's done exactly what God has called him to do, and the tribes are responding with obedience. Joshua, we're with you. We've got this. We're coming with you. The people are unified and ready to move. Now, what Joshua has learned here and is going to continue to learn, it is possible to be strong and courageous when God is with you and when God's people are with you. And if one or the other is missing, you'll get a lot of things wrong and you'll do a lot of damage. But if God and God's people are with you, you'll experience a strength and a peace that will carry you through many difficulties and challenges. Now, let's stand back from the passage and just reflect a little bit. There's a lot we could pull out of this chapter, and I hope in your growth groups, your discussions cover much more territory than I can cover here. For example, we could think about issues like the land of Israel, godly leadership, God's promises, obeying God's word, the importance of unity, and the mission of the people of God, and many other things. However, the one idea I want to finish on is this repeated message to be strong and courageous. At a personal level, you and I will never face the challenge that Joshua faced, and few of us will experience the fears and anxieties that are raised by going into a military battle. All of us, however, experience our own fears, our own doubts, our own questions, our own problems. For example, I constantly wonder if I'm doing the right thing. Am I in the right place? Am I doing what God wants me to do? Any of you who work with people know that working with people raises all sorts of issues. We're constantly afraid to some extent of upsetting people, of getting things wrong, of being criticized. And I know many of you out there have had the various unsettling experiences in recent times. Things like changing house or even changing country, starting or ending a job, starting or ending a course of study, starting or ending a relationship, a change in your health situation, starting or ending a ministry. And we've all experienced the uncertainties, the frailties, the difficulties of these past couple of years that have been brought on by the COVID pandemic. So I feel we all need to hear this word from the Lord, spoken so many centuries ago originally to Joshua, and we need to make it our own. The word particularly spoken in verse 9. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Today and this week, take Joshua 1 verse 9 and meditate on it, ruminate on it. Let it shape and inform your prayers. You can pray it back to God. You can shape it and change it and say something like, "Dear God, I know you are with me. Help me to be strong and courageous today." Think about the particular things that are going on in your life, anything that is particularly causing you anxiety or stress, and then take verse 9 and pray it into the particulars of your life. Speak God's truth into your heart. Claim God's promise to be with you and invite him to speak his truth into your fears. You see, as you speak God's truth to yourself, you will start to experience that strength and courage and calmness that can only come from God. It's a version of that peace that passes all understanding that Paul talks about in the New Testament. Give it a try this week. Meditate on verse 9 and feel free to let me know what happens. I'll be at all the services at St. Luke's and St. Alph's on Sunday. Feel free to let me know what happens. So in conclusion, Joshua is the story of God taking his people into the land that he had promised them such a long time ago. It will be a troubling story in some ways because it will involve fighting and war and bloodshed. And for that reason, it's often not preached on. But it's part of the larger biblical story of God creating a people for himself, a people he calls to reflect his character and be a blessing to others. It's a part of our story, the church's story, God's people, the story of his people. For in Christ, we are the inheritors of all God's promises. So be strong and courageous. Read the book of Joshua over the coming months. Don't be put off. And learn what you can about this God of ours who promises to be with us wherever we go. Amen, and God bless you.